Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text Number 7. Na sat shatreshu sajeta. No pa jiveta jivikam. Vara varam syajat tarkan. Paksham kamsa cha samshrayat. Na, not, asat shastreshu. Literature is like newspapers, novels, dramas, and fiction. Sajeta. One should be attached or should indulge in reading. Na, nor. Upajiveta. One should try to live. Jivikam. Upon some professional literary career. Varavadan. Unnecessary arguments on different aspects of philosophy. Tyajet. One should give up. Tarakan. Arguments and counter-arguments. Paksham. Faction. Kangsha. Any. Na. Not. Samshayat. Should take shelter of. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Literature that is a useless waste of time, in other words, literature without spiritual benefit, should be rejected. One should not become a professional teacher as a means of earning one's livelihood, nor should one indulge in arguments and counter-arguments, nor should one take shelter of any cause or a faction. Purport. Person desiring to advance in spiritual understanding should be extremely careful to avoid reading ordinary literature. The world is full of ordinary literature that creates unnecessary agitation in the mind. Such literature, including newspapers, dramas, novels, and magazines, is factually not meant for advancement in spiritual knowledge. Indeed, it has been described as a place of enjoyment for crows, tadvayasam tiritam. Anyone advancing in spiritual knowledge must reject such literature. Furthermore, one should not concern oneself with the conclusions of various logicians or philosophers, because those who preach sometimes need to argue with contentious opponents, but as much as possible, one should avoid an argumentative attitude. This connection, Srila Madhvacharya says, aprayojana paksham na samshayat, na prayojana pakshisyan, na rita shisya bandhakrit, na choda sina shastrani, na virudana, na virudani cha vyasat, na vyakya yopajivita, na siddhan samsharet, na siddhan samacharet, evam bhuto yatir yati, tat eka sharno harim. There is no need to take shelter of unnecessary literature or concern oneself with so many philosophers and thinkers who are useless for spiritual advancement. Nor should one accept a disciple for the sake of fashion or popularity. One should be callous to all these so-called shastras, neither opposing nor favoring them. One should not earn one's livelihood by taking money for explaining shastra. Sannyasi must always be neutral and should seek the means to advance in spiritual life, taking full shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. Literature that is useless waste of time, in other words, literature without spiritual benefit, should be rejected. One should not become a professional teacher as a means of earning one's livelihood, nor should one indulge in arguments and counter-arguments. One should take shelter, nor should one take shelter of any cause or faction. Our philosophy is quite simple. We're supposed to try to become self-realized. Self-realized means that we're all eternal spiritual beings, now conditioned by material nature, and because of our attachment to the material energy, we're going to take one birth after another in 8,400,000 species of life. And therefore, the real problem that we have is not what most people think the problem is. Most people think the problem is nidriya nriyate naktam avavayena chavavaya divya charteha rajan katumba bharane nava. A Pariksha Maharaj had asked the question, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? Now most people would think this is a very morose question, that poor Pariksha Maharaj, who was absorbed in death, and therefore because he had a terminal illness, therefore he was absorbed in thinking of death. But we shouldn't be so morose, because we're practically going to live forever. So why should we concern ourselves over such a disturbing question? Because Shukadeva Goswami did not think the question being disturbing. He said, Varyan esha te prashta, krito loka hita ripaha, atmatam samatat pumsam, shroti vyadishu yakparaha. That this question is actually Varyan. It's glorious. And it's actually the prime question that everyone should be asking. And if we receive the answer to this question, it'll be beneficial not only for the person who asked the question, but even the person who answered the question will be benefited. And the whole audience will be benefited. So what's the problem? Why do people think that this is morose? Because Shrota Vyadishu Rajendra Srinam Shanti Sahasra Shaha Apashitam Atmatatvam Griheshu Griham Edinam. People who are blind to self-realization, they have hundreds and thousands of questions they're asking. And each one of those questions will make them more blind to self-realization. Because what are they about? My dear fellow learned person, please tell me where the worm is. Beep, 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 beep. Where's the worm? And the educated bird says, beep, 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 beep. The worm is over there. Oh, thank you. You've enlightened me. So people are concerned more than ever. You can go on the internet. There are seminars that last dozens of hours all about how to sleep. Now, even a dog in the street doesn't have to take the seminar. Although he's not in a fancy bed, he doesn't have central heating, there's no one to massage his paws before he goes to sleep, it doesn't really matter what the time of the day is. If he has to sleep, he just lies down, goes to sleep, and that's it. He doesn't have to make a special tea in order to go to sleep. Similarly, in India, if you go there, people have no money. And they sleep. I was going to the Yoga Institute. I was taking lessons maybe 20 years ago at the Iyengar Institute. On the way, some other devotees were with me, Mahendra from Bulgaria, Mahendra Vru, and Hriday Chaitanya Vru was also going to the Yoga Institute with me every day. And at night we come, it was early in the morning, it started like 5 o'clock in the morning or something, our first lessons for the day. And we passed by places where homeless people were. Of course every sannyasi is homeless also, theoretically. But there were many people lying on the street, perfectly sleeping, undisturbed. They didn't even turn. And every day were they like that. There was no question that they were homeless, they were shivering in the cold, whatever. No, they knew how to perfectly sleep because they had nothing to worry about. When they went to sleep, They weren't bothered by so many things. They weren't bothered by the rent they had to pay. They weren't bothered by the mortgage. They weren't bothered by the price of the car, or their wife was going to run away with some other man, what kind of education the children were going to get. They had no worries whatsoever. Maybe they were worried, you know, we're going to get something to eat tomorrow. But generally, it wasn't a big concern because they didn't have to eat very much. They weren't doing very much. So they slept perfectly, peacefully. But nowadays people have so many things to worry about. Pay the mortgage, pay the car, pay the rent, keep their wife happy, educate their children, retirement fund, so many things. Who's secure the car and the garage, secure the garage, secure the building that has the garage. And therefore they can't sleep at night. They have too many things to worry about. They can't make enough money. Everything's on credit. And the credit, they can't pay off the credit. So they're always being threatened to lose everything. If they get one cold, everything falls. Their job falls, their building, their house falls, their family falls, everything falls because they sneeze 3 times. Exaggeration, but actually people are worried about everything. Nidriya riyate nakt vavavayena chavavyam. And they made it such that people don't think that they can be happy without sex life. Unless they have sex life all day long, be stimulated sexually all day long, they feel that their life is like incomplete. They're missing out on something. Although we don't find anyone dancing in the street because they're unrestricted sex life. Actually, we find people morose or engaged in such activities. But still, there's so much propaganda that people are actually believing that that's the only way of finding happiness in this world. And of course, then they have to make money, work like a dog, so they can eat like a hog, sleep like a bear, have sex like a pigeon, and defend themselves like a tiger. They have to get enough money to do all those things. And then they think they're secure. But deha patya kala tradishu atma sanyeshva satsupi tesham pramato nidanam pashana pina pashiti. What is all this about? What is the whole thing about? What are they working so hard for? Accumulating so much wealth and buildings and assets. It's all meant to protect them from death. They think if they make their body strong and healthy, if their wife is strong and healthy, the kids grow up and become lawyers and doctors, their dog is trained to bite strangers, guard dog, goes woof, warr, get away. It's my house. If they're trained like that, then they think they'll be protected from death. But actually, they're dying anyhow. Everyone's dying. Even the dog will die. I mean, how strong it is, and how many teeth it has, eventually it dies also. Everyone dies, no matter what the protection is. Even King Ugrasena, he had at least 4 quadrillion bodyguards, and he disappeared too. So how many bodyguards will need to in order to protect us from death? Hiranyakashipu got stomach problems and died, although he got so many benedictions from Lord Brahma. What to speak of our little selves? We eat 2 extra samosas and we're finished for the week. Pashanapina Pasha. People see what they don't see. And when Shastra tells them that, they say, oh, this is just some superstition, some old people. No, Krishna says, actually our enemies are very clear and it's very simple. Trivida narakasyedam dwaram nashitam atmanah kama krodha tatalovas tasmat etam trayam chajet. There are three gates leading to hell. Not four or five. Of course, maybe four or five, but these are the main ones. These are the golden gates to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. Lust. People think this is the purpose of life, to become lusty. Prabhupada said, if they don't become lusty, if they lose their lust, they get old and the lust diminishes, then they have an operation so they get monkey genitals, so they can be revived again, their lusty desires. And in their next lifetime, they'll have to become a monkey, and their genitals will be removed also to provide inspiration for some man, old man. And of course, they want lust, but they don't want to become frustrated. But that's inevitable. You try to satisfy lust, it'll turn into greed. And greed can never be satisfied. And therefore, frustration is inevitable. And even if you get the whole world, eventually you have to lose it. King Kulukshetra, it was Kadvanga Maharaj. He fought on the behalf of the demigods for so many years, and finally he wanted Kartikeya asked him, would you like some benediction? We'd like to give you a benediction. So he said, yes, I'd like a benediction for all my endeavor on behalf of the demigods, but please tell me, before I ask for the benediction, how long do I have left to live? And Kartikeya said, well, you have 1 second left to live. So he realized that, you know, what benediction am I going to get? What is the value of a benediction that I'm going to have for 1 second? So he came to this earth planet and fixed his mind upon Krishna and went back to the spiritual world. So greed, you can get everything, but if you're going to die in a few days, what's the value of it? And then you'll just be frustrated. Everything you work so hard for, you're about to lose, and the only thing you're going to get is a reaction for all your activities in your next lifetime or in future lifetimes. Prabhupada even said, big prime minister in India, he thought that the whole India depends upon me, and then Prabhupada heard from one astrologer that after leaving his body, he became one of two dogs in Sweden. Now, whether he became one of two dogs in Sweden, I don't know. I can't confirm it because I haven't seen his horoscope. In any case, the possibility is there. There are so many dogs, and some of them were probably formerly prime ministers or presidents or kings, whatever. There's no guarantee. According to one, there's so many more insects and birds and other types of living entities than there are human beings. So obviously, to get the human form of life is quite rare. To get the body of a lower form of life is quite probable for most people. Why? Because of lust, anger, and greed. They force one to perform sinful activities. And sinful activities, you get sinful reactions. And sinful reactions means you go to the lower modes of material nature and you suffer. Urdvam gachati sattvasta madhye tishtati rajasa jaganya gunavritista ado gachati tamasa. If you perform pious activities, which means you follow the shastra and you give up lust, anger, and greed, then you go upwards. And if you keep on steadily, you regulate your lust, anger, and greed to some degree, then you remain on this earth planet. And if you perform more and more sinful activities, ado gachiti tamasa, as you go into the lower modes of nature, lower modes of ignorance, then you go to the lower planets and take animal species of life. It's not that we made it up. We're not creating by our words the cats, the dogs, the insects. They're there for everyone to see. And there are also living entities like ourselves with intelligence and feelings and experiences, but they're in a body which doesn't allow them to understand Krishna or self-realization. Therefore, Krishna says, Yakshasra vidim usrija vartate kamakarata desasidim avatnoti nasukam naparam gitim. That one who gives up shastra, what does it mean to give up shastra? to give up, you know, whether there is a Mount Meru made out of gold. Is that what we mean by we give up Shastra? No, that's not what Shastra is all about, to try and convince people that there's a mountain of gold. Shastra is not trying to convince us that. Shastra is trying to convince us to give up lust, anger, greed. That's all. Now, there may be some connection about Meru and giving up lust, anger, and greed, because if the material scientists say that the whole, everything that exists is only on this planet, and there's no supreme higher consciousness, therefore the only thing left is lust, anger, and greed. So Mount Meru may fit into that, in that way, but it's not the essential part of our philosophy, especially by itself. Our philosophy is to give up lust, anger, and greed by taking shelter of Krishna. But we have to believe there is a Krishna. And if we can't see how Krishna is moving the sun and the moon in their orbits, then how can we believe that there is a Krishna? If right before our eyes Krishna is working by his inconceivable energies and we deny it, then obviously we're not interested in reality. We're interested in the fairy tales that the so-called scientists are telling us. So, Krishna says, if you give up Shastra, which is meant to control our lust, anger, and greed, and engage in pure devotional service, which will ultimately give us spiritual enlightenment and pleasure and realization eternally, then we'll be forced to act according to the lower nature, because we already are conditioned by our lower nature, which is pushing us all the time. It's not that, well, sometimes it pushes me and sometimes it doesn't. No, every moment it's pushing me in every direction. Therefore, tasma shastram pramanam te karya karya vyastito gyatva shastram vidanokta karma karma iharase. One should know what's to be done and what's not to be done by the shastra. Shastra which tells us we're not this body, there's a super soul in our heart, and there's a supreme, all-attractive person. That's Shastra. That's the essence of Shastra. That's what Shastra is all about. Not some esoteric, inconceivable, you know, sacrifice that people are making and how much gold you need. That's all secondary. Just to understand, as Krishna says, iti guyatama shastram idan yuktva mayanaga etam yuktva pudimasat krita kritasya bharata, that this is the most confidential part of all knowledge. Anyone who knows this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. What is that? Yomam eva masamudo janati purushottama sasarvavit pajante mam sarabhavena bharata. Anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything. And therefore he engages in pure devotional service without any doubt. So this is actually what Shastra is about. But people give it up. You explain your body's changing, but you're not changing. They deny it. So what kind of... They're not human beings. They don't have human intelligence. They even understand where they are, what's happening. They actually believe, they don't believe that they're, well, I don't know what they're thinking, but if you can't understand your body's changing, but you're not changing, what are you going to be able to understand? What kind of intelligence do you have? Of course, the next lower down is that maybe you should regulate lust, anger, and greed. Maybe there should be some kind of sense and mind control. But they're not going to accept that if they think they're their body. Because they're going to try and squeeze out every last little bit of pleasure they can find before they leave the body. Because they don't think there's anything after the body. Or they have no idea what it might be. Therefore, the Vedic literature has hundreds and thousands of instructions, millions of instructions, just to try to get people to stop unrestricted, unlimited sense gratification. But if one can understand that we're not this body, then all these other things are clear. You don't need millions of restrictions. You just need four. And you have to engage in devotional service, pure devotional service, in Krishna consciousness, and then automatically all these other things will follow, naturally, if one is sincere. So, as Prahlad Maharaj said, in this world there's nothing, there's no enemy except for the uncontrolled mind. And there's a process of controlling the mind, and the easiest one is to fix it on Krishna. Therefore, as it says here, that yad vichas chitvat padam hayer yasho jagat paritat parigriha karichit tadvayasam tirtu shanti manasa niyatra hangsa nidurikshya samshayaha. Those words, which are not meant for the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are like places of pilgrimage for the crows. The all-perfect persons, the Paramahansas, they don't pleasure there. They don't take pleasure there because they're residents of the eternal abode. Yad vichaschit prapitam hariyari. So, and then the next one is that these words are meant to create a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Such words, although they may be imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by men who are thoroughly honest. Honest doesn't mean that if they go to the candy store and someone gives them some extra money, they give it back. I got too much change. You know, you gave me the wrong change. Here's the extra change back. That's honesty. But thoroughly honest means they accept that we're not this body, that we're not the controllers of this universe. We're not supposed to be the enjoyer of the universe, and we're not the best friend of everyone. Krishna is the controller, Krishna is the enjoyer, and Krishna is the real friend of everyone. That's honesty. Everything else is, to some degree or another, a lie. Everyone is trying to deceive others into believing that they're the friend, they're the controller, they're the enjoyer. These are all falsehoods. And therefore people are being misled. And this Vedic literature is meant to lead people properly so that they stop being misdirected and wasting their human form of life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
You mentioned that there is three enemies or three gateways.
They ran out of gold. I think they're silver now. Because they ran out of silver too.
And that the best way to avoid this pathway is to focus on Krishna and control the mind by focusing on Krishna. And so many times we are so distracted by so many allurements of illusion of, you know, internet, Facebook, relationships, this and that. And what is the best thing, I mean, how to really focus the mind backwards, because it's so easy to go that pathway. I mean, what would be the golden rule towards Krishna?
Oh, we have five of them. Chanting the holy name, worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, and trying to make the atmosphere spiritual. Live in a holy place or make our, wherever we are, spiritual. And everything will be alright. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.